We've been teaching on a series called Authority and Power. And I know it's been a week. And so I'm going to do just a little review. Is that okay? Well, it better be, because I'm in undercharge. I'm not in charge. I'm in undercharge. Anyway. We started this off, and you don't have to turn there. I'm going to really try and review and get into some new things today. That really, he was only a lot of it I was just getting this morning. So, we started this off talking about the centurion. How many knows we're going into revival? That is the mandate of this church. It's what the truth of that hooked your jaw years and years ago. Not only those of you here, but many of you around the world. And the kind of revival that we see in the book of Acts, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus was running his own services, where the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. And I like those verses. You know, we went through them more than once, those where we went through Jesus' services where he healed them all. So in calling in the lost, one of our confessions is they were all healed first time, every time. No exceptions. That's the way he did it, and I believe that's the way he'll still do it when he has full sway in us. Amen? So we're pressing into revival, and the mandate that Pastor Dave received years ago that we've all hooked on with is to take a group of people and to go far enough into me to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Of course, it'll start here, but how many know this is just the seed? We believe this revival will sweep around the world, and it'll be a harvesting combine that's going to harvest until Jesus comes. This is not going to be a short-lived revival. I don't believe that. I believe this is going to be a revival that will harvest until the end. Amen? Because Jesus himself said, now, he said this gospel. Another place he said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. A witness of what? God has glorified his Son and raised Jesus from the dead and made salvation available to all. That's the witness. That's the word. If you believe on Jesus and the price that he paid, you can be saved. And that's the message. And the signs and the wonders are a testing witness to that word. We may get to that today. Mark 16, where it says, they went and preached everywhere, the Lord working with, now in the King James it says them in italics, but really the Lord working with and confirming the word. What word? That word that I just spoke. That Jesus is Lord. God has raised his Son from the dead. Well, we're going to get to Jesus as Lord here today. Specifically, but we started off this because if the church has been so mistaught, and I mean the church at large, I don't mean here, but the church at large, such things as you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Boy, if I was the devil trying to undercut any possibility of power, that's what I'd preach. That's what I'd have the whole church believe, that you're just old sinners. That you're not changed, you're only forgiven. You're not changed at all. You're still that same old, sinful, depraved creature that you were, only forgiven now. I can sure understand why the devil got that preached from pulpits. And when I say that, I don't mean that all those preachers are of the devil. But I'm saying that doctrine is. It sure is of the devil. You don't find that in Scripture. That is not what the New Testament teaches. If you are a believer in Christ, you are a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. You are born of the Spirit of God. You are not a sinner anymore, not by nature. Now, you can sin. How many of you know that? Okay, don't have to raise your hand. We know, don't we? Huh? Yeah, we know. Don't ask us how we know, but we know, right? Yeah. But you're not a sinner by nature anymore. You're a child of the living God. See, the real truth is, Jesus said, Father, as you have sent me, stop. How did God send him? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all, how many? All, say it with me, all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. And he says, I'm sending the same way you sent me, Father, on the same mission you sent me, as thou hast sent me, I am sending them. How many of you believe Jesus went out to do his mission believing he was just an old sinner? See, we're never going to get there, are we? That mindset will not work with the mission that we're on. Now, right on the other hand, I have seen this happen with my own eyes, and I've read about it with many, in many cases. At one point, Lucifer himself was right up at the top of the angelic class. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. Many think because of what's written about the pipes that were in him that he may have led worship in heaven. He may have been the top angel. We don't know. But he was way up there. He was in that top class. And what was the sin that brought him down? In one word, what was it?
Pride.
And that is the big danger. I've seen it with my own eyes, even in this church. And I've read about it many times. As the Lord begins showing you who you really are, you better stay really close to the Holy Ghost. You got to stay close, because if you're not careful, you'll start finding yourself exalted in pride also. You'll start thinking you're something, and you are something. But how many of you know this is where the real grace of God comes in? You are something because of his grace. Amen?
Amen.
It's of him, not of you. But it is of him. So it's a balance to walk. See, Jesus, it says, have this mind in you. He thought himself, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. Well, what's the rest of that verse? He humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. And that's the mind we are to have in us. We are the sons of God. He has made us his offspring. You are a child, and in your spirit, you see, he says, and Jesus said, unless you be born of water and of the Spirit. You were born of water when you were born from your mother's womb. But you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. You have been born of the Spirit of God. There's some God in you. Can you understand what I'm saying? But you're born of that same cloth. Oh, that was good right there. You're born of that same cloth. See? Now, you're not deity. Get over yourself. Okay? But we are born of that same Spirit. He wants us to humble ourselves, not be exalted in pride and fall into the snare of the devil. Paul warned, he says, don't put novices in places of authority. They might fall in that same snare that the devil fell into. Pride. Amen? So we got to walk the truth. But you're not, the truth is, you are not an old sinner saved by grace. If you've been born again, if you've been saved, if you're a believer in the blood and name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the offspring of the living God, and you have been sent on the very same mission as Jesus Christ, to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, to go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. You know why? God is with you. Mark 16. Go to Mark 16. I thought we was going to do review. Apparently that was it. It's not what I had in mind, but I don't want to disobey him, and you don't want me to. Last chapter of Mark, verse 15. Yeah, Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. To the Jewish ear, this was revelation beyond revelation. And I don't think they got it very easily. You know, Peter himself, he is plainly saying here, go ye, when he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he is plainly opening up this gospel to the Gentiles. Another place he says, go into all nations. How plain is that? All the Gentile nations. Yet Peter himself, years later on the rooftop, God had to give him an open vision where, you know, you fall over in a trance. Now, I've had teaching visions from the Lord, but I thank God while I was driving those trucks, I never had one of those kind. You know, you're driving an 80,000-pound rig through downtown Memphis. You don't want to fall over in a trance. But God had to so arrest the sense man to get this across to Peter. He fell over in a trance. And three times God let down that sheet, you know, to show him that he was bringing the Gentiles, things that the Jews thought were unclean. He says, what I have cleansed, don't you call unclean. Whew. Says, there's three men coming, three Gentiles coming. You go with them. Normally, Peter would never have gone under the roof of a Gentile like Cornelius. But he did because that ain't, you know, he'd been told to go. Well, thank God. So here when it says, go ye into all the world, go ye into the Gentile world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Every one of these phrases could be a message and a series. We're after something specific. Now, these signs shall follow only my apostles. These signs shall follow only the fivefold. These signs shall follow who? Them that what?
Believe.
Them that believe. In my name. Now, in my name is really going to be important today. We're going to talk about really the name of the Lord. I'm sorry. When that happens, there's incoming. I'm sorry. Hang on. I don't know that I have ever... I've heard Dave do this many times. I don't know that I've done this. I'm at a transition point in my life in a good way. He's trying to bring me into something that I've not been in before. And I'm trying to go with him. But I'm asking y'all to pray for me. And those that are listening or watching. There's a trembling on the inside of me. I think it's the fear of the Lord. In a good way. And I want to go with all that I know how. I want to go into this next room. But there's a war. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My mind is really trying, and I know it's spiritually discerned, you know, the things of God are spiritually discerned, but our mind is supposed to follow. It's supposed to catch up, you know. Anyway, pray for me. I'd really appreciate it if you would. And even those of you that don't like me, I'm not your enemy. I'm really not, unless you're purposely doing something. Then I might be. But anyway. In my name, in whose name? In the name of Dave. No? No? What? In your name. In his name. He says, in my name, they shall attempt. What? In my name, they shall pray for those that have devils. See, in his mind, this is a done deal. You do have his authority. He is going to work with you. And the Holy Ghost is the agent of power that's with you everywhere you go. When you speak, it is done. Remember that? That's the faith of the centurion. You remember him? We started this off. Why did Jesus say this man has greater faith than anybody I've met? Well, the centurion himself told us. He says, because I am a man under authority. That meant he had authority. See, you'll never be a person of authority until you become a person under authority. The sons of Sceva found that out real quick. They'd watch Paul preach in the name of Jesus. They'd watch the miracles that would accompany him. And sometimes he wouldn't even have to be there. They would just put cloths on the man, you know, handkerchiefs and cloths on the man. Take the cloths later after that anointing had time to rub into those, I guess. Anyway, they would take those claws from Ephesus and take them wherever. lay them on people that had devils. And there was enough power in the cloth that the devils had to come out. Sickness would have to look good. They just raise up healed. So the sons of Sceva are watching that and they're going, doggone. They're thinking, we could make a living with this. They were vagabond Jews. They would go around and they would like sell charms and magic incantations and things. And that's the reason they had to keep moving. If you stay in one place very long, they find out you're a phony. But if you keep moving, you know, but anyway. So they saw it, Paul doing this. So they tried to do it. They come up to this demon-possessed guy. We adjure you. Adjure. Anyway, we command you in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. They weren't under authority. They had no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ whatsoever. They're trying to make money with his name. Thank God there's no preachers like that today. Really thank God for that. They tried to say, in the name of Jesus. Now, is it the right name? That Paul preaches. Uh-oh. They're not under authority. And they don't have any authority. We command you to come out. Well, that devil, Jesus I know. Paul I know. Who are you? Jumped on them, beat them up. One guy beat up seven sons. Seven sons of Sceva. One guy beat them up. Stripped the clothes off of them where they had to run naked. And this was done publicly. I mean, Ephesus was known for its witchcraft at that time. If you wanted to learn how to be a good witch, you go to school at Ephesus. And I mean, it caused such a fear to come on that community that it says they brought their magic books and their incantations and all their dark arts. They brought them to be burned. They weren't even, and it was worth, it tells you, was it 50,000 pieces of silver? It's a whole gob of silver. Oh, it's a lot of money. But they were fearful to even sell it to somebody else. So no. We're not going to be guilty. We're going to burn this. Let it not fall in anybody else's hands. And a great revival came to that city. Oh my God, a great revival is coming to this city. You hear me? Oh my goodness. I hadn't even got to the verse yet. In my name, them that what? Believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now here, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Boy, I want to preach a message right there, but I can't today. So, verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set where? That's the highest place of authority there is now. And they went forth. Now the believers, they went forth and preached everywhere. Now read it in the King James first. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. By the way, that word following is better translated accompanying. Right now. Signs, here comes the word and the signs together. Got that? Now, if you'll notice, the word them is in italics. And it's not totally wrong. I mean, the Lord was working with them, all right. But the emphasis really in the Greek is not on them. The emphasis is on the word. So let's read it that way. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. The days of wishy-washy, politically correct, seeker-friendly gospel is over. You hear me? We preach the truth in love, even if you decide to put us on a cross for doing it. That's what he did. And that's what we're going to do. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to politically correctize it. How's that for a word? But we are going to speak it with love. Same way Jesus did. To the Pharisees, he said, unless you believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. That seems harsh, doesn't it? How about this? You are of your father, the devil. He was sure trying to be politically correct, wasn't he? No, he was not. But was that the truth in love? He's trying to rescue those guys. He's trying to rescue them. If they don't repent and believe that he is who he say he is, they're going to wind up in hell for all eternity. You never saw or read such love as that. My goodness. Now, this word here, where it says, verse 20, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. We're going to talk about that particular word, the Lord. The Greek right there is the word kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S. Let me get some notes that I took this morning on kurios. Kurios, if you want to look it up in Strong's, G-2962, K-U-R-I-O-S. It's from the base word kuros, K-U-R-O-S. That word means supreme in authority, okay? Now, you'll find it in the common Greek language of the day that Jesus lived, and you'll find it in the Gospels leading up to the resurrection, used very many times. It's a very common word. And the way it was commonly used then was a word of respect. So they would you could find it used as Lord, Master, but very often it would be like Sir. Could be used of God. Most commonly for God was Theos, T-H-E-O-S. But you could use Lord in the sense of for God. But today, the way it was commonly used then, you know how we would most commonly use it in our language today would be Mr. To say, you know, Mr. Smith, Mr. Jones, Sir. That's the way it was commonly used. But now I'm going to quote you some things from Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words. He really had some good things to say. Some good studies here about this word and how it's used in the New Testament. Up until the resurrection, like I say, that word was very commonly used just as a term of general respect. Sir, Master, Lord, like that. You'll find it if you do a search on your Bible software of the word kurios, boy, you'll find it a lot in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay? Commonly used. But now watch this. He says, after the resurrection, however, among believers, the word came to be used only to refer to the Lord Jesus Christ and then to God. Now, quoting directly from Vines, his purpose did not become clear to the disciples until after his resurrection and the revelation of his deity consequent thereon. Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas, when he realized the significance of the presence of a mortal wound in the body of a living man, immediately joined with the absolute title of deity, saying, my Lord and my God. In the Greek, that is, my kurios, my Lord, and my theos. Now, here's why that's so important. The full significance of this association of Jesus with God under that one statement, Lord, is seen when it is remembered that these men, the 12, belonged at that time to the only monotheistic race in the world. At that time, they were the only people on earth that worshiped one God, monotheistic. One God. You got that? Everywhere you go to Rome, you go to Greece, you go anywhere else in the world, they had many gods. But only the Jews had one God. Got that? At that time. But yet, when Thomas sees Jesus, I'm going to read that sentence again. The full significance of this association of Jesus with God under that one statement, Lord, is seen when it's remembered that these men belong to the only monotheistic race in the world. Now get this, listen carefully. Quoting Vines, to associate with the Creator, capital C, Creator, one known to be a creature, little c, however exalted, though possible to pagan philosophers, was absolutely impossible to a Jew. I never understood the significance. The one we call Doubting Thomas may have been the first to actually say out loud, Jesus, you are both my Lord, my Kyrios, and you are my God. We don't really understand. We're coming into an understanding. When we say there is power in the name of Jesus, yes, sir, go to Matthew 28, right near the end. Again, I know these are verses we keep going back to, but that's okay. They're alive, they're living. Starting in verse 18, Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, and those of you that's been coming to these classes know, what's the Greek word there? It's exousia. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You do realize that is way more than the first Adam ever had. Adam was given dominion over all the works of the Lord's hands on earth. I don't read anywhere that Adam had dominion in heaven. But this one, the second man, the last Adam, what if I say our risen Lord? Our risen Lord and God. This man, he has authority, all authority in heaven and in earth. This is the one seated at the right hand of God. This is the one that helps you understand a little more. God has given him a name that is above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And that's the name we're going in. You tell me what's not possible. You tell me devils don't tremble when you come in that name. You tell me if you are submitted to that name, if you're under the authority of that one, and he says, you go in my name. What did the centurion understand about his authority? See, he had been given authority from Rome over 100 men, at least 100, centurion, century, 100. He says, I understand the authority I've been given. I have been given authority by a higher power, Rome. They have given me authority over these 100 men. Here's how it works. I say go. They go. I say, come. They come. That is the authority I have been given. But somehow he had a revelation of Jesus that in exactly the same way that this man had authority from a higher power over men, Jesus had authority, the man Jesus, before the resurrection now, functioning as the last Adam. Before the resurrection, he had authority from a higher power over sickness and disease. And he says, you don't even have to come under my roof. You just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He understood it. He said, when I speak I have authority over that man. When I say go, he goes. Jesus, you have authority over that sickness. And if you say go, it goes. And that's before Jesus was resurrected from the dead. But see, now Jesus, at that point, Jesus was operating a man as a just as a man. He had laid down his divinity. He was operating as a man under the anointing, operating with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But now he has been exalted and given a name that's above every name. Now he is not only an anointed man, if you'll allow me. He is both Lord. He is both Kyrios and Theos. He is the God-man. I didn't have time to look this scripture up. Remember, he threw me in the water before I thought, think I'm ready. But there's a scripture from Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah. And it says, a son is given and a child is born. Remember that? Seems like a little verse. It doesn't mean a whole lot. A son is given, a child is born. See, the Son has always been God. The Son was in the beginning with God before there was anything. The Son, the eternal Son, was given. But the child, Jesus, the man, was born. The man, Jesus, had a beginning. You had a beginning. This man, Jesus, has no end. You have no end. Excuse me. I'm about to have a running fit. I'm trying to stay here. Look, they're wanting to go. What we have now is the union. See, the Son was there before. The Son was with God before. This eternal Son that was given. He's always been there. He is still there. But he's not the same. For all eternity, deity has somehow, now my brain starts leaking right out my left ear when I start thinking about this too much. I'm going to quit confessing that, by the way. Because I'm starting to understand my words have power. I don't want to actually bring that into manifestation. But I have difficulty understanding this. How's that? Is that better? Okay. Deity. See that Son that was all, you know, it's like, you know, there's no time with God. So it's like, if you just bear with me for a minute. God the Father's there and he looks and there's his Son. It's always been there. Always been there. Always been there. Always been there. And then the next blink, he looks at his Son. And now his Son has the form of a man. Not only the form of a man, he is man and God, Kyrios, and Theos. The writer of Vines goes on to say here, the Vines, I guess he wrote his own book, Mr. Vine. He says, what you'll find, that term Kyrios was used very commonly in the Greek language. They used it all the time, Mr., Sir, so forth. He said, what you'll find, though, after the resurrection, after Thomas made that declaration, from that point on, believers only used the word Kyrios, Lord, to refer to Jesus and God the Father. Paul, you'll find it, I didn't really know this till I started looking it up after I read this. Paul hardly ever, ever just uses the name Jesus. If you look it up, it's always, nearly always, not 100%, but almost, it's the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the Kyrios, and it's always Kyrios, the Kyrios Jesus, this exalted God-man. My Lord and my God, that's the one we serve. That's the one who has authorized you. That's the one that has all authority in heaven and earth. And he says, therefore, because of that, because I have that authority, now you go and preach this gospel to all the nations, teaching them to observe, to do all things whatsoever I commanded you. Another place he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto the whole earth as a witness, and only then shall the end come. This gospel. This gospel of the kingdom. I still want to preach that message and he won't let me today. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 7. We talked last week, I believe, about... Remember when he came in and he overturned the tables of the money changers and they asked him, by what authority do you do this? And he says, well, let me ask you something before I answer your question. And he says, the baptism of John the Baptist. He's talking about the ministry of John the Baptist. Was that of God? Or was that just something man produced? And they were afraid to answer him. He said, well, because if we say it's just of man, the people all believe it's God and they'll stone us. But see, if they say it's of God, they're going to box themselves in, because John the Baptist plainly says, here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He announced that Jesus was the Messiah. And if they agree with that, they say, well, the ministry of John the Baptist was from God, then he says, well, why didn't you believe him? I am who he says I am. You want to know my... And he didn't go ahead and say it because they wouldn't acknowledge it. But basically he was saying, what authority do I have? I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. I am the promised one. I am the one that God... Trust me, I have authority to do this in the temple. But now today we're going to look at his authority as king. King of... Kyrios. Lord. And God, okay? So Matthew 7. Now this is kind of a long passage. We're going to read it all the way down through 29. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. Now, yes, sir. I'm going to show you the end from the beginning. God does that sometimes. Because it'll change how you read this. Look at verse 29. When he gets through saying what he's about to say. Verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? For he taught them as one having authority, and that's our Greek word, is exousia, and not as the scribes. Now, teachers, scribes, they were, you know, scribe. They write down stuff. Scribes. When they would teach about heaven or anything from the Old Testament, it's always like, and heaven, God says heaven is like this, and it's like that, and this over here, and don't sin, and do this, and do that. And it's all from a teacher's point of view. But notice Jesus, when he's talking, he speaks from different, a higher stand than just a teacher. He doesn't say, many will, and in that day, many will say unto God, thou art Lord. Notice how he says it here. Back up to verse 21 again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Not the scribe would say, not everyone that says unto God. But Jesus, he's making it personal. He's speaking as one who has authority. I'm going to add a little more. He's speaking as the king of the kingdom. Did you get that? He is speaking as who he really is. The king of the kingdom. He's not teaching like some scribe, like a teacher, like something, you know. No. He is speaking as the king. As the one having authority. You know why? He is the one. He is the king of the kingdom. So he says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me. Many will say to me in that day. Is he trying to help them or what? Is he trying to get them to understand who he is? Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? I wonder if the seven sons tried that. Seven sons of Sceva? I don't know. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now see, in Luke's account of this, there's a phrase added. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now see, right here is why there's so little power in the church. It's one of the reasons why. You're never going to have authority until you become a person under authority. This is why we focus so hard here at the Family Prayer Center about discipleship, about mortification of the flesh, about, can I say, less of me, more of him, mortifying the flesh, building up the spirit, becoming more conformed to the image of Christ. But all of it is so that we become those people. He says, I want to hear him say, you're one of those that says, Lord, Lord, to me, and you do what I say. Now, those are the ones under authority who, when they go out, they have authority. You understand that? And he's saying, there's going to be a lot of people that tried to do a lot of work in my kingdom, but they never yielded to me. I didn't look up this verse either, but it's in one of the T's. You know what I mean by that? Timothy, Thessalonians, Titus. It's one of those T's. And it says, one of y'all might know it by heart, but it says, the Lord knows those that are his. And let all that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And it's the same thing. He just got to say, I never knew you, and depart from iniquity. And that verse says, the Lord knows those that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But what if they don't? How many short-lived revivals? I mean, God loves people so much. We've seen it ourselves, even in our generation. Within the last 20 years, we have seen power break out by the gifts in a person that was not mortified, more than one, not mortified. Well, the enemy doesn't let that kind of thing go unchallenged. And same way he came, you know, right before the cross, Jesus says, the enemy cometh, but he has nothing in me. But the enemy was coming around, sniffing around for handles, seeing if there was anything in Jesus, not mortified, that somehow he could get a hold of and still twist this thing. But we've seen it ourselves. Where genuine power, you know, by the gifts of the Spirit, just pure gifts, people get healed and, you know, set free of all kinds of things. And then the next week, we realize the guy's in adultery and a drunk. And the whole thing, you know, then it brings disgrace on the name of Christ. That is not the kind of revival we're seeking after. We're after one of those where when we say, Lord, Lord, we mean Lord, Lord. And we are a people that do what you say. We are a people under authority, and that's why he has given us authority. And in his name, and purge that flesh and purge it again and purge it some more and wring it out like a rag. Where it has nothing in you. Satan can find nothing in you. Because if he can, he will. I'm prophesying to me as much as you now, see. It's back to prayer, back to fasting. You notice I don't stutter anymore about fasting like I used to. I still don't like it, but it's not as foreign to me as it was. I'll say it again in case somebody didn't hear it. I caught myself here. I've done more fasting this year than ever before. I caught myself one day right near the end of one because, I mean, it was not pleasant. And I heard these words come out of my mouth. I said, oh, the pain of this fasting is very good. Because it's finally bringing my flesh under the dominion of my spirit. I heard myself say that and I went, who was that? I'm so identified with the flesh guy, I don't even recognize the voice of the spirit man. Who in the world was that? That was me. That's the real me. That's the one Alan's been talking about. The real me. I'm going, the pain of this fasting is very good. What? You're not living in here. Yeah, actually he is. Anyway, I feel like praying in tongues here. Anyway, verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, I've got to emphasize again what Dave always emphasized. The rock is not Jesus' sayings. The rock here in this context is not even Jesus. The rock is doing his sayings. You get that? The man that hears my saying, both of them heard the sayings. Both of them heard Jesus say the sayings. That's not the rock. The rock is doing his sayings. Well, doing his sayings isn't always easy. Dave usually backs up to Luke 6:27. Love your enemies. That's easy. Nobody has any trouble with that, right? Love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Love them. Do good to them and so forth. And there's some dying to do, people. There's some purging to be done. Mortification to be accomplished. See? But if you do it, and if you become that person, doesn't mean you're a doormat or a ushy-gooshy. Watch Jesus. He is love with legs. The same man that prayed, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. They know not what they do. That same man that prayed that. Says, if you don't believe who I am, you're going to die in your sins. You're of your father, the devil. All of those are love. All those words are love. Okay. But everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now that's the sand. Doing them not. He shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now see, and it came to pass. They're listening. They're used to hearing the scribes. They're used to hearing other teachers teach every Sabbath. Every Sabbath they go to synagogue. And they hear them say things like, oh, you know, this is God's word and this is what heaven is like and this is the promise and this is that and this is that. But none of them ever come and said, unless you hear my sayings and do them. Many will say in that day, to me, Lord, Lord. But they're not going to make it. Why? They didn't do what I say. I never became their Lord. I never really knew them. They're saying, whoa, he's teaching different. Why is he teaching with authority? I don't know if they got it yet. Why is he teaching with such authority? Got to remember now. I believe it's Luke 16 where he says, the law and the prophets were until John. But since that time, since when? The day he was baptized by John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is preached. Jesus is preaching the kingdom of God. And he is trying to reveal to them, I am the king of this kingdom. Many will say to me in that day, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? They said, he's teaching with authority. Yes, he is the king of the kingdom. But that king is your king. That king is the one that has said, go in my name. The same mission that the Father sent me on, I am now sending you on that same mission. Not to die on a cross, but to go, there's only one qualified for that, but to go about doing good, anointed with the Holy Ghost. And healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Preaching this gospel of the kingdom. And those that believe shall be saved. And those that believe not shall be damned. But at least you went and you preached the gospel and gave them their shot. And it wasn't with words only. Because when you went with demonstration of the Spirit and in power. The gospel is not in word. The gospel is in power. Amen. Amen. Few more reasons now why Jesus is the king of the kingdom. I'm just going to read these verses to you. We're going to run out of time. What qualifies him to be king of the kingdom? Well, everything. But in specifically, here's one. He has purchased us with his own blood. Nobody else did that for you. Nobody else died for you. Jesus himself, and that's Acts 20, verse 28, says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Whew. Now we go in his name, never our own. Now this is where you got to watch that pride of the devil, okay? We serve the King and the King alone. Say it with me. I serve the King. And the King alone. He is the King of kings. He has made me a king and a priest. But I am never the king. He is the king. And I am an under king. Good enough for now. We are not on planet Earth to serve ourselves. See, this is part of yielding. When the centurion says, I am a man under authority, think about it. As a Roman, and especially as he would yield to Rome, did he get to choose where he lived? Question. No. Who decided where he lived? Rome did. Did he get to choose his assignment in the army? Do you get to choose whether you're an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, work helps, government? See, it's the same thing. You have to yield to him. I'm not allowed to go pastor a church somewhere. I can fill in, and people can call me Pastor Gary. You can call me a Chevy. It doesn't make me a car, you know. You can call me a pastor. I'm never going to be one. I've already found out when I try and pastor, people get hurt. I don't have the temperament nor the gifts of a pastor. I'm a teacher. Again, I'm going to say, you fall asleep in my class, I may wrap your knuckles, wake you up. I teach on Sunday, and I see you on Monday doing opposite what I taught. We may have a discussion in love, you know. But I'm not permitted to go. Well, I mean, permitted. He would bless that. You know, if I was to go try and pastor a church somewhere, even little or big, it would be way out on the fringes somewhere of his permissive will. And it's not that he wouldn't bless it all that he could. You know, he says you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward. But I don't want to be out on the fringes of his will somewhere. I want to be right in the center of what he's called me to do, and so do you. So it's that same mentality that the Roman centurion had. He didn't get to choose where he lives. He doesn't get to choose what his assignment is. Rome decides that. We've been bought with a price. Our life is not our own. And the rest of our lives is not about serving ourselves. The rest of our lives is about serving the king. So a good verse for that is Acts chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. This is when Saul first had his revelation of Jesus. Fell off his horse, you remember? And here's Saul, who up until this point had been actually arresting Christians and taking them back to Jerusalem, and some of them were even killed. He stood the coats while the men stoned Stephen to death, giving his approval for it to be done. But when he saw the Lord, I love it. You got to admit, Saul, who became Paul, he's a smart cookie. Because he asked the two best questions you could ask right from the beginning. Right after he fell off that horse, and who art thou? And I am Jesus. Anyway, he says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, now here it is, Lord, what word do you reckon that is? Kurios. He recognized right away, Lord, what will thou have me do? There it is. From the beginning, soon as he saw the resurrected Christ, he understood, okay, I'm not Lord, you are. You are. What would you have me to do? Does that not sound like the Roman centurion? Rome, you're in charge of my life. What would you have me to do? Where do you want me to live? What is my assignment in the army? What do you want me to do? That's our attitude. Lord, He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Well, some of those are universal. Love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you and so forth. Some of them are singular only to you. You have a calling. You have a... Go to Mark 13. Well, I'm sure there's going to be more on this. We're going to introduce this. See, like, just like that Roman centurion, I'm sure Rome had general rules that applied to every soldier. Okay? I'm sure they did. Code of conduct, like we have code of conduct for our military services, sure. But then eventually it gets down to you. You have an assignment. That centurion had assignment, and then he gave his soldiers assignments. It gets down to you eventually. What is your assignment? What is your place? What is it you're supposed to be doing? And do you know that if someone above you gives you an assignment, they're also giving you the authority to do that assignment? Now, let me show you that not just from general knowledge. Look at this from the Word, Mark 13, starting in verse 31. Jesus speaking here, and he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take you heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when the time is. Now here it is. For the Son of Man is as a man. He's giving them an analogy. The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. And yes, that word for authority there is exousia. Look at that. Where is Jesus physically on the earth today? Only in us. But him physically in his glorified body, he has taken a far journey. Right now he is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But he has given authority to his servants and to every man his work. You have exousia for your assignment from the Lord. You have authority for your service, your ministry. Whatever it is he commands you to do, you have the authority from heaven to get it done. That means there is no such thing as not enough money. Boy, did it get quiet right there when I said that. That is what Sue and I had to learn. He kept telling us to do stuff that we couldn't afford when we made a bunch of money. Now he's telling us to do this. I mean, in those early days, to send those cassette tapes by the thousands around the world, it took lots of money. And he was trying to get us to understand, I don't tell you to do something without the authority for you to do it. And that authority includes the ability to ask and receive what you need. And that means a lot. Because I want to be nice and not make anybody mad. See, it's not wrong to send out appeal letters. It's really not. Unless the Lord tells you it's wrong. And what he told us, because he was training us, he says, don't, and it's still that way to this day. He's never given us personally, freedom. He says, don't you be letting the people know what your needs are. Now, that means no appeal letters for us. Now, I'm not against... See, that's what I'm saying. Be very careful because he may have somebody else send out appeal letters. I could teach on that. But he was trying to get us to understand, if I have told you to do this, then I have given you authority to do it. And that included in that authority is the... Remember what Jesus said? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. Well, you think you know that until he throws you in the river. You think you know it until you're out there in the water. I remember when my dad taught me how to swim. I know exactly how he taught. I mean, I'll never forget it. I was about five, roughly, I think, five. And we were at a lake. I think actually it was a river, but I can't remember for sure. But no, I think it was a lake. I don't know. What I do remember I heard him say, "Gary can't swim? Come with me, boy." We went down to the edge of the water and he took me by my right hand and he went, "Zumba!" Tossed me out there, seemed to me like a mile. Tossed me out into that water. Sploosh! I'm out there quite a ways, deeper than my feet will touch. I'm out there and I remember coming up out of the water and, you know, my eyes come back up where I can see. And what did I see? My daddy's back as he's walking away. He wanted me to understand, boy, it is time to swim. That's exactly what God did to Sue and I. Young people, it is time to swim. I'm throwing you in the river. And I'm telling you, if I gave you the authority to do something, you have the authority to call on the resources of heaven to get it done. Church, we've got to understand, he has called us to revival. And we have the right to the resources of heaven to get it done. The King of Kings, the King of the Kingdom has called us to revival. We've got to understand who we are, where we're from, why we're here, and the resources he has given us to accomplish this mission. And there'll be more on that the next time we talk. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? The King of the Kingdom has given us authority for our assignment. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care that it looks like lack and deprivation and destruction on all sides. I don't care if the building is more slopety now than it was last year. I don't care if the seats are more empty. It does not change what the King of Kings has said. It does not change the mission we've been given. And we shall have what he has assigned us to do. Amen. Jesus' name. I'm trying to quit. I really am. I'm excited about this now. And you've got a part to play now. You have got a part to play. And whatever he's assigned you to do, I mean, you have got the authority from the King of Kings to get it done. That's what. Look at it again. I'm trying to finish. I really am. Look at this. Verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority. Exousia. He gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. And commandeth the porter to watch. Watch you therefore. For you know not when the master of the house cometh. At evening or at midnight. Or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Lest suddenly when he comes he finds you sleeping. I'm afraid for almost 2,000 years. For the most part. The church at large has been asleep. I think I've been asleep. Okay. But I'm saying to all of you. Watch. No, he's talking about watching over the assignment he has given us to accomplish it and get it done. When he comes back, I only want to hear one thing. Or when he calls me there, I only want to hear one thing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Say it with me. I have authority from the King of the Kingdom for the assignment he has given me and for the work he has given me. I have been given authority by the King of the Kingdom to petition my Father, to ask in the name of Jesus for anything that I need to accomplish what Jesus has called me to do. And when I ask, I receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. That's enough for today. My goodness. Kurios, the King of the Kingdom, the God-man. This is our Lord and our God. Our Lord and our God. Man, I want to just preach it again. Does it put a fire in your belly? Man, this heats my chili and spins my prop. Gives me a thrill. Let's say it that way. Gives me a thrill. Gives me a thrill. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Put me on those sticky candles. I don't do this very often, but I'm going to do it again today. If you're here by any chance, or if you're listening or watching this video somehow, if you remember that part, he says, I never knew you. If you don't know for sure that you've been born again, if you yourself have never bowed the knee and just said, Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart, save me and forgive me. This is your day. This is your day today. Now, in this room and in this audience, by audio, by video. In fact, let's just, yes, sir, come in. He's going to reach a lot of people right now. Now, listen, let's just all repeat it with them. It won't hurt you at all. Just do this. Now, mean it from your heart. The words alone won't do anything. You got to mean it with your heart and say it with your mouth. See, the Bible tells us that if you believe in the heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead and confess with the mouth that Jesus is your Lord, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Let's do both parts. So just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your own blood. Forgive me, Lord. Jesus, you said if I would open the door, you would come into my heart. Jesus, I'm opening the door. Come into my heart. Make me brand new. I do believe with all my heart that God raised you from the dead. And Lord, with all my heart, from this day forward, you are my Lord. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me that prayer language from above. Lord, thank you for loving me, for forgiving me, and for saving me. I am now born again. I am a child of God. Father, I love you, and I'll live with you forever. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody says, amen. Listen, if you just repeated that prayer a minute from your heart, you're not the same person you were just a few moments ago. The Bible says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, born of God's own Spirit. You're his child now. Talk to him. Pray to him. Get into his word. You have great days ahead of you. And all eternity you get to be with him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited for you.